Welcome to the Media Nerds Podcast. I'm Dan Vadebonker.
And I'm Kenton Larson.
And Kenton, I won. We don't have Tim Hortons. We skipped the line today. But I won Roll the Rim, a six-month free trial for SiriusXM.
Oh, God. Which turns into paid version when you're done.
Well, exactly, yeah. Right? And so that's what the funny thing about it is. It's all a marketing tactic. But I thought, what the hell? I'll try it out and see what it's like.
Oh.
And it's, you know, the only thing that really distinguishes it from the, I guess, other streaming services, music streaming services, they have Howard Stern.
Yeah.
They've got, like, very exclusive. I'm sure they have other personalities who are exclusive, who are relevant to other audiences. Howard Stern is the only one I'm really aware of as a celebrity. And I listened to a few minutes of his show. And it has not changed. It is the exact same thing. He is as crude as he ever was. He is. It's funny how much the same it is as what you would imagine it was from the 80s and 90s when he was on the air, on the radio.
He gets credit now, though, for being a more sensitive man, for being a better interviewer and a more thoughtful person who actually listens.
Oh.
Instead of I read his last book where he says, like, he thought he was slave to the average quarter hour audience, where he was afraid that if he didn't do something outrageous or say something insane every 15 minutes, that the audience would leave.
Right.
And he lived in fear of that.
Yeah.
And then he said when he moved to satellite, he didn't have to worry about it so much. So he could do more long form interviews and be a nicer guy. And
yeah, and it's really about the shift to, like, on-demand or pay-as-you-go, I guess.
Yeah.
It was really ahead of its time, Sirius, in a lot of ways. But I don't think that that's increased the pickup of it. I don't think it's still I don't know how many people listen to him on Sirius. You know, I don't know a ton of people who don't just have this. Like, the only reason they have it is because they got it free with their car or something like that, right? They get a free trial. Exactly. They get the same thing. Free trial, and then they let it expire, and that's it. They never continue it. I don't know a lot of people who love SiriusXM.
Yeah. Do you feel warmly toward any streaming?
I would say I'm leaning more towards Spotify. We're going to talk about video streaming services today, but as far as audio streaming services go, Spotify is kind of the main go-to. I've done both with ads and without ads. Almost all the ads are always from other – like yesterday I got an ad for the City of Calgary. I better feedback on the city's proposal to change the zoning variances in Calgary.
Oh, God.
That's what I got. That's the ad I got yesterday.
That's all I need is more zoning variances to worry about.
No, sorry.
It's endless.
Oh, I didn't mean to trigger you there. Sorry about that.
Don't worry, Dan. The rethought out transit map, which I don't know if you've looked
yes,
at it.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Don't worry. That'll make sure nobody arrives anywhere that they intend to arrive for the next 3 years or so.
Anyway.
So don't worry. We have bigger problems in zoning, which is how do I catch some public transport to get to where I believe my home is.
But I would say that Spotify is the main one. And here's the difference between XM and Spotify. XM are streams. It's like music streams.
Yeah.
And it is very much still in the vein of like a radio DJ. Like there's an 80s at 8. I wanted to listen to some easy music. So there's a guy. He talks about the band. He talks a little bit about between the songs, and there's 8 songs in that playlist, and it's about an hour long, I guess you could say. There's ones that are 3 hours long that are like a top 40 list, and the guy will do or girl, whatever. It's a bunch of different people to do a top 40 list, but there's that consistent talking between the songs, so it's not like it is kind of recreating the radio experience, not the streaming music experience. So there's still very much a radio vibe to it, but I found myself being annoyed at not being able to skip the songs. You can't skip the songs. It's a stream. So you have to listen to the whole thing, and if you don't like the song, tough. You change the station, you can change the stream, which is, again, radio. But on Spotify, you can just skip the song and go on to the next one, and that's much more convenient.
I believe since you went for your Tim Hortons special prize you want, special promotional prize, which itself was just another promotion.
Exactly.
A promotion after a promotion.
Yeah.
I believe Little Steven, Bruce Springsteen's guitarist, has a show called Underground Garage Festival, or just Underground Garage, pardon me. His festival is something else, but Underground Garage. And I've heard it's really good.
Okay.
And I think Bob Dylan had a show, believe it or not.
So that's what they do. They get these really cool people to do shows. Okay, well, I'll check that out too.
They pay them a pile of money.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Like, I have not – I know this exists, but I have not followed it. I've not listened to it.
I'll dig a little deeper and I'll report back.
Yeah, like, I'm just curious to know, like, what other big names they have on there. Big names or not big names. I'm just curious, like people who we recognize, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
I do want to talk. I think there's a larger conversation to be had there about exclusives on podcasting, because that's kind of coming and going. We're seeing a lot of changes in that area. But today I want to talk about video streaming or cable TV or television in general. It's become known as linear television, which is a newer term. I think I've just heard that recently in the last few months, as far as it being by linear television, they're talking about cable TV, like having turning on the TV and having something playing all the time, right? There's always something on. You have to look at the schedule to see. You have to look at the TV guide. I don't know if it still exists.
Wait a second. What's rabbit ears? What are those?
Oh, my God. Don't give me
what are those? What's that called
let's
now?
Let's talk about that for a second, because I have very, very core memories of using rabbit ears to get good reception. KNRR was the Fox cable Fox station from the south. It was in like North Dakota somewhere.
Yeah.
And so on the right day, if the weather was good, I could get like Robotech and all kinds of cool cartoons that we couldn't get in Canada through the rabbit ears. But of course, now I could just get that stuff online. It has changed quite a bit since then. And all that content is available online. So this is from CNN. And this is a article about, it says, for the first time, cable and broadcast makes up less than half of TV viewing. So this is the official decline of cable TV as far as the decline goes. In July, linear TV made up less than half of all TV viewing, according to Nielsen. Both broadcast and cable each represented record low shares of total viewership. The firm's report said making up just 49.6% combined. Meanwhile, streaming services such as Netflix and YouTube grew last month to a record high of 38.7% of all total TV watching. So almost 40% of people are watching streaming.
Yeah.
That's crazy. Well, it's not a surprise, but I mean, if I work in cable TV, I'm going to be worried right now, right? Like, what's going to happen to these people?
Yeah,
I don't know. What do you think of all this?
It's not unexpected. I know. I even know. Like today. Okay, so here's another version of this, and I think students, when you present them with this, they're like, "Of course, that's the case." But here's their version of that. Today, I showed them the Marcus Brownlee video of him discussing video AI. And I was like, so guys, what do you think? Are we going to, like, is this it? For, like, we don't need B-roll anymore. We don't need this. We don't need that. Maybe we don't need actors. And they're like, nah, I think we're okay. Like most of them are kind of like, nah, it's all good. But I don't think it is all good. And I think you and I are of an age where we can remember when people are like, nah, it's all good. The internet's a fax machine, or you know, like all of that stuff.
Yep.
So I think this is what technology does. And I don't think technology cares one way or another. Like the internet doesn't care. Shingles doesn't care. I saw in the commercial as well. But I just think this is what technology does. This is how it goes.
And people don't care either. The consumers, the audience will go wherever the technology takes them.
Whatever's
easiest, whatever's most convenient, whatever way they like the best. That's why it's fractured in so many different pieces and gone in so many different directions, because everyone's going after different people. But it's not it's not as the cable TV. And again, I'll come back to this as something that was said during a Bell Media town hall, where one of their guys probably doesn't work there anymore because they all resigned about a week later. But they did this thing where they said that we know that less than half of what was it again? We know that less that half of all Gen Y or whatever the next gen is, YZ, are never going to have a cable subscription. And I'm like, try 0% of that generation.
Yeah, none.
Like, no kids, nobody wants a cable subscription. It is a bad product. When compared to all the other ways in which you can consume this content, the idea of actually sitting there and waiting for your show to come on, sitting through the commercials, I think the commercial break's got to be done. That thing, I think, is a thing of the past.
Well, as long as people watch it live, there's going to be commercials.
Okay, but what about commercial breaks, like a 3-minute commercial break?
That's how the stations get paid. So that's I mean, it's the classic. But advertisers will flee. If it doesn't work, advertisers will flee. So there's still a demographic, enough of a demographic. But, you know, hey, you can plot the death of generations on an actuarial chart to see when there won't be anybody left watching it. But that's you know, that's what the business is based on. So that's what they'll continue to do until, and advertisers will not hang around if they're not, if nothing's happening as a result.
Right.
Of what
and advertisers
buying.
Are fleeing. And that's right. why, Bell Media is having so much trouble. They have no advertisers. Nobody's going with them anymore. Nobody wants to advertise with old school media because they're not convinced the audience is there. And it's because of things like this, because the audience is shrinking.
And you can't track it, by the way, either, which is the other major problem.
Well, it's based on surveys. Yeah. It's based on the boxes. It's not based on actual numbers, which everything else is based on.
Also, the gap between I saw an ad to I bought a product is not traceable, whereas online, at least it's, even though online you're only getting a small percentage of clicks and stuff based on who sees this stuff, but at least you can track that. With TV and traditional media, that's a major downfall.
Yeah, I know. It says here, broadcast viewership dropped 3.6% in July, making up just 20% of all TV viewership, and cable viewing dropped 2.9%, making up 29.6%. I wonder if you could compare these rates to the death rates of people. Is the audience literally dying and they're not renewing their cable subscription?
Well, sure. I mean, that's partially it, but then there's the, like, there, you know, I still have a cable subscription. But the more you hear about people getting rid of it, the more you think about it.
What do you still watch on your cable news? I know you always say CNN.
Yeah, like that's the problem. I want to see news, but I'm not watching it to the extent that I once did, for sure. I still like spinning the wheel of what's on. I still like that. I still like looking. I still like seeing not all the commercials, for sure, but I like seeing some of them, and I like to know what the bullshit commercial is on CNN that they won't stop showing, because there's always one.
Oh.
There's always – it was mesothelioma for a long, long time. The war veteran sitting there looking at his wife talking.
But there's also the Kurt Browning one for the reverse mortgage curve. Yeah, but now they have Peter Mansbridge as a spokesperson. That reverse mortgage is crazy.
People always say I look like that Kurt Browning guy. And I was literally at the Canadian Museum of Human Rights, and a guy goes, "Mr. Browning," he says to me, and I believe it or not. And I was like, "No, but can I talk to you about reverse mortgages?" Like, it's the classic. And I even did a TikTok where I was like, "You know, when people see me, they go, "Kurt." And yeah, they want to talk about figure skating. But more and more, they want to talk about reverse mortgages. Okay? Well, I don't even know. What can I even say about it? But yeah. Hey, sign me up.
That points to another problem, is that currently in advertising on cable TV, all you see is the same five ads every time. Shannon was joking about watching South Park. She loves South Park, of course. She's 14 years old. And saying that she can watch all the old episodes for free on the South Park website. Like anything, I don't know, up to a certain season is available for free. She says you just have to watch five Paramount Plus ads every episode, because they have they have commercial breaks, and it's basically just five Paramount Plus ads. That's the only thing. I know, but it's the only thing advertising. They're advertising themselves on their own platform. But eventually, I think they're hoping to build out like an inventory of advertising on that platform. If they get enough of an audience there, they can start selling that space. Right now, they're not.
Digital media, traditional interruptions.
Well,
it does, like YouTube is built on that premise.
Yes.
And so are lots of other things. And the whole point of digital media was we don't need that anymore. They can't say no. They can't say no to the battalion of advertisers with money that they're dying to spend.
It's too easy to monetize that 30 seconds or that 6 seconds.
It is.
I actually think YouTube's done a great job with it, and they've actually really created an instinctive thing. When I'm on YouTube and I'm watching and then the ad comes up and I skip – I don't even realize it. I'm skipping the ad. I'm not even registering it. Sometimes it is. Sometimes it does work. Sometimes it's a trailer for a movie that I want to see. Sometimes it is a product that actually is aimed at me. More often than not, it's something that's not aimed at me, or it's like an attack ad against Justin Trudeau. So, and that's probably just my demographic as a middle-aged man. But I just think that YouTube has done a better job than the other streaming platforms as far as incorporating interruptions into their...
I don't think so.
No?
No. Yeah. And the fact that you're saying I'm seeing ads that aren't for me, well, that's strike one.
Well, true.
That's a major problem.
I think it's because of where we live, though, not because of the platform.
And also the I don't even look at it. It doesn't even bother me. I just hit skip.
It shouldn't. Unless it's aimed at you, it shouldn't bother you.
Well, somebody paid for you to see that, though. And so it comes up. I don't even look at it. I hit skip. Well, is that an impression? Like, oh, way to go. Hey, let's all celebrate. Let's celebrate our
elder.
It's not
an impression, but that's okay. You don't want that. Impressions. The problem with the system, and you're right about that, me not seeing stuff. Like, there's definitely an issue with, I think it's partly not enough people are using the platform. If everyone was using YouTube the way they used to advertise on TV in the 80s, we would see a robust landscape of different ads. It'd be like the Super Bowl. Every single break would be a different ad. You'd see like a bunch of different products advertised and all this other stuff. But it's not like that because not enough people are using that as a platform. The problem with that, of course, is that there's so many other places to advertise besides just video, right? There's all kinds of other places to put your ads up. So there's too much advertising going on in general. I think that's part of the problem.
I was going to say, I'm not allowed to reveal who this client is, so I won't.
Awesome.
But I recently
leave your guesses in the comments.
That's right, sure. I recently observed a Performance Max, Google Performance Max campaign, and it's Google Ads. However, this is a product called Performance Max, and the client needs $400 a day budget. So let's start with that. That's like a big client. That's gonna spend that money. When you set it up, across the top of the page is every single Google service that Google offers. Performance Max takes your ad and it plays it out across it. And get this, YouTube, of course, being a Google ad. So you fill it up, you upload a couple photos, you write the copy just like you do, or not, or the AI writes the copy if you desire.
Yep.
And now you don't even need to write the call to action. Now that's already autofilled if you want it to be autofilled. And to my shock and astonishment, it will take your photos, it'll take the AI generated or your original copy, and it turns it into a beautiful video. The AI turns it into a YouTube ad. So you've done nothing.
How does it look?
Good.
Is it good?
It looks, and in fact, I'll even say, it's improved. Like you might have seen. I'm guessing you may have, but the Manitoba Liquor and Lotteries ones that come up on YouTube. Have you ever seen one of those?
Yep. Okay. I think so.
Red River College had some that were coming up too, where we work.
Yeah.
RRC Polytech. Sorry, I didn't mean to critical error
this
assignment.
Don't worry about it.
So those kind of look like glorified PowerPoints a little bit. The new one with the photos and stuff, it's looking better. It's looking good, actually. And it's far more motion-oriented. So I was, like, once again, I was stunned. I was stunned to see it, like, play out. And you can only do that with Performance Max right now. But pretty soon, that's just basically going to be Google Ads. That'll be what Google Ads is. You'll just type it in. It'll be AI-generated video, photo, like whatever.
And that's Google's model. Google makes its money off of its advertising, and it always has. Now, some other platforms are also branching to that as well. Amazon Prime has recently started doing ads. Are you annoyed by this already?
Well, we're paying a monthly fee.
But you're paying for the Prime. You're paying for like the delivery Prime.
Sure I am.
How often do you use that these days, by the way?
Do I order something from Amazon?
Yeah.
Maybe 5 times a year.
Oh, see, really?
Probably.
I probably order more often than that. And I share one with my mother. I'm going to be honest. We share Prime.
Well, that's what everybody does.
But that's what you do. And but that's what they say. That's how we get lots of get away with putting ads on it, because they say, you know, we're giving you this other service. That's why.
Bullshit.
Whatever. Well, I know. But they get around that.
However, they do a couple things right. So before I just damn it, let me just throw this in and then back to you. But I had a McDonald's ad, that McDonald's anime ad, which is actually pretty good.
Yeah, I like that.
I like that ad. It was at the beginning of something, Invincible maybe, and then it said commercial free. Hooray for McDonald's. I was like, yes, that's right. That was when did I say that? About 6 years ago, that they should be doing that in theaters?
Yeah.
Like, there you go. McDonald's paid for it. Yep. Enjoy. And right away, you're like, let's go for McDonald's after this movie. Like, let's thank them for what they've done. So that was the first one. Then I watched an Oscar-nominated and a very good film. And it was either American Fiction, which is very good, and another one, which is very good.
The Holdovers.
The Holdovers.
Was it really? Okay.
Yeah. And The Holdovers didn't have any ads. It was like pristine experience, probably because of the deal they made with the filmmakers or something. But then American Fiction, there were commercial interruptions. So it's like there's different, there you can already tell what are people willing to put up
but
with
But that's
here?
Always been the case. Like when they showed movies on TV, there was always they kind of had a hierarchy of it. You like a theater first, then, before home video was around, it would go to TV. Like when did stuff start airing on TV? In the 70s maybe? 60s, 70s, sure. 80s, or 40s?
What do you mean?
Like when did movies start airing on television?
Like so through licensing agreements
that kind of stuff.
Oh, even before that, probably.
50s?
That's a very good question.
There's a reference to it.
I've never asked myself that question. I don't know.
In Happy Days, there's a scene where they're watching From Here to Eternity on TV. So maybe in the 50s. But anyway, but that's been doing it for a long time.
Happy Days is not historically accurate.
Welcome. Agree to disagree there. I maintain he jumped that shark. He really jumped that shark.
There was no guy going, back then. I can guarantee you there was nobody.
But I think that that's when they started commercial breaks and, you know, that kind of thing. And I do think commercial breaks are on the way out because I don't think anybody sticks around for the full 3 minutes of the break. Like, you get up, you go away. Like, that is, like, always been the case. But I think that when they first came out, people would sit there and watch the commercials, right? Yeah. That was the original intention of them. And that doesn't happen anymore. So, you know, they talk about tops and tails being, like, the beginning and the end of the commercial break. That's all that exists now. We only want, like, 2 ads or 3 ads per break. I think that's the maximum amount you don't want. Sometimes I go on, like, Gem, and there's 6 ads.
Oh, it's horrible.
And I'm trying to watch Schitt's Creek, and I'm like, it's so difficult to get through that because I know I'm thinking about doing going back to Paramount Plus just so I can watch Schitt's Creek without ads because it's a bit much. But I don't know. This is where we're at right now.
So this is what I envision for the future. Let's say you're logged into Wi-Fi at home on a bunch of devices. The Amazon Prime ad comes up, so you pick up your phone to look at that instead of the ad for the minute or whatever. But the ad's on your phone too because they could get
you. Well, they've already got the QR code is the most popular thing now, so they throw that big ugly QR code out there for 15 seconds, like a fully half of the ad is that QR code sitting there, and that's what they want. So yeah, that's exactly going to happen.
Yeah.
Open this up in your phone. That's an option. And then you just buy the product and then go back to watching your show.
See, I was watching Amazon Prime on Apple TV and the thing came up saying, we're now showing commercials. Do you want to upgrade so you don't have to watch commercials? And I just went, screw it. I'm already paying whatever. What's $2 more? So I said, yes, I'd like to upgrade it and not watch ads. And then it goes to the next screen and it's like, to do this, you need to log in on your desktop. And I'm already, you've lost me. Yeah, log into this. Go to the screen. Blah, blah, blah. Sign in your password there. Then go to your settings. Go find the thing. And it's just, forget it. I'll watch some commercials. It's just easier for me to sit my butt down on the couch and watch some commercials because I just don't feel like doing any more work on behalf of Amazon Prime than what I've already done.
Well, they make that difficult so that it's harder to cancel your free trials, all those free trials that you offer.
Yes.
By the way, they've re-offered me all the free trials on my account. I'm going back to Paramount Plus again because they've offered me another free trial.
See, I want Paramount Plus because I want to watch, although people tell me it's terrible, Frasier.
Yeah, it's supposed to be bad.
Yeah, then the Nathan Fielder show, whatever that one was called.
Oh, about the haunted house or whatever. I don't even know if it's a haunted house.
No, they're building houses.
Some kind of house.
They're building houses, but it's a parody of those home reno shows.
Yeah.
And then there's a third thing that was on there recently. And I was like, okay, it's starting to make sense. But the free trial is 7 days.
I know.
It's the most chintzy.
It's ridiculous.
Bullshit. Like, don't buy a Super Bowl ad, Paramount Plus, and give us like a 30-day.
Yeah, 30 days should be standard. And I think that they didn't have anything. Back when I first got it, there was nothing on there
at all.
It was all
terrible.
It was a waste of a free trial. And now there's more on there. Like, even I would say the new South Park, my kids would like the new South Park stuff, right? Because that's pretty interesting and it's good content. And they're starting, they certainly understand like the need to kind of put their own stuff on their own platform. But it's still not as robust as Netflix or some of these other platforms. There's still not a lot on there. I get through the Paramount Plus stuff like pretty quickly when I'm looking for something to watch. So I don't know. I don't know if it's worth keeping. Are you still, obviously you still have Crave with all the HBO and all that stuff?
Yeah, I love that. I mean, HBO keeps coughing up high quality shows.
Yeah.
Like The Regime right now is a good show. I'm happy that I have it. Mm-hmm. And Curb Your Enthusiasm just had its series finale.
Yep.
And like I like watching that on a week to week basis. There's a couple new ones coming up too that I saw promos for. Yesterday I recorded a documentary that I just happened to stumble upon about, it's a brand, I can't remember the name of the brand, Brandy, it's Mandy, something. It was on the tip of my tongue. Anyway, whatever it is, it's a documentary and it was like this brand that bullshits people on Instagram.
Okay.
But you know, but meanwhile, they're destroying the planet by creating clothes, cheap clothes, so fast that and everybody thinks there's this like upscale brand, but they're really downscale and they're full of shit, basically. Those are the documentaries I love. And HBO has so many great ones. So I could not quit HBO. Now, Prime, I have considered.
I have too, because Prime, it's hit or miss. And there's large gaps where there's nothing on there that I like.
Me too.
And same thing with Netflix, honestly. Netflix is hit or miss too. I find less and less on there. Netflix is better for like the older stuff that they happen to have. They just happen to have, it's like Seinfeld. I'm actually rewatching Seinfeld on Netflix right now.
That's pretty good.
It's interesting. I gotta say, it's a very different time and it's fun. It's like a time traveling machine to go back and see all the things they got. Like, Elaine's gotta check her messages.
Right.
She's got a call from another phone to her phone to check her answering machine. Like, that's when this started in the late 80s. So that's, and he makes a Hezbollah joke in one of the first episodes. It's pretty, it's a different time. So anyway, kind of stuff is only, it's the only thing I really watch on Netflix.
Did you watch any Curb Your Enthusiasm?
No, I haven't. I will though. I do like Curb Your Enthusiasm. I might just do all of Seinfeld and then go right into Curb.
There is a storyline. I'm not, no spoilers here, but there's a character on Curb Your Enthusiasm who is watching Seinfeld, who's binging Seinfeld and keeps telling Larry David,
something happened on the show?
Like what the hell's with this? And why does this happen? And how about that? And he's like, I don't think I want to watch the finale because I heard it's shit. Like all the stuff that probably people say to him single day.
Oh, I love it. That's awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
I
so it's once again, it's like Curb has been like a parallel show to that. It almost took over from Seinfeld when Seinfeld
ended. Exactly.
Ended.
And that's the closest we'll ever get to a Seinfeld reunion is on Curb, right?
Well, they did it that one season. Yeah. Which when they were making a reunion within the show.
Yeah.
And I always say, like, the missed opportunity was they built the set. They did everything. They had the actors. The last episode of Curb should have been the Seinfeld episode.
Yeah.
They should have shot it. Yes. Because they did. They had scenes.
Yeah.
But it's like, okay, you have three scenes. That's half the show.
Yeah.
Like, you've almost got the whole show. You know how good it would be to do a 22-minute Seinfeld?
Yeah.
Reunion, and they had George doing Bernie Madoff material, and like he had been one of the people taken in by Bernie Madoff.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
They should have done it.
It would have been great. Yeah. But I think part of the charm of Seinfeld is just that it is a very specific time frame, and that's it.
You
have to let it go. So.
Yeah. Jerry's looking a little older these days.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah. He is finally starting to age because there was a while there where he kind of looked the same.
He's like, but he's got the Paul Simon syndrome, which is you look boyish up until about 60, and then you look like you're about 110.
That's right, yeah.
Like, that, something happens, like, in the course of a week, and you just, you know, your hair goes gray or falls out like mine.
Exactly.
And before you know it, you just look like, oh, you know who else? Mark Knopfler. I saw an interview with him the other day, lead singer and guitarist for Dire Straits.
Oh, yes.
He's got a new album coming out. I saw, you would not recognize him on the street. He's like, is this the oldest man on planet Earth? Like, he's not that old. I think he's 78 or something. But you would never if you saw him walking down the street, you wouldn't go, hey, Dire Straits. It wouldn't even cross your mind.
Oh, you know.
You'd go, hey, that guy's probably lives in a care home.
He's probably had a hard life.
We've left the topic here, but what's the conclusion here?
The conclusion is that cable's dying. Cancel cable subscription and just subscribe to things on, seriously, streaming services on your Roku or smart TV. That's the future. That is the platform. It's apps just like it is on your phone. And so, again, I will say, like, I'm sure there's got to be a CNN app that you can subscribe to that you can just go on it and CNN will be on anytime you want. You don't need a cable subscription for CNN.
Yeah, probably not. I do, and once again, though, I do like discovering things by mistake or by.
You can actually recreate that quite nicely on Pluto, Plex, and there's another one too that I don't remember. But a few different streaming services have now kind of built in. Now it's all kind of old material. It's a good place to go and watch Johnny Carson if you want to watch that. But it's fun to watch that stuff sometimes.
It's okay.
But you can get a little bit of like what's on, like flipping through channels feeling from that.
Johnny Carson had like 3 years of good shows and then started coasting. Like,
well, somebody
was barely showing up at the end.
I was watching the other day and someone made a joke about him not being like, she's like, oh, I'm happy. He's like, you've been a guest here for many times. She's like, yeah. And some of those times you were here or something like that. Cause he was never there as a host. Right. So anyway,
he had the sweetest deal on TV. Yeah. He's like, him and Pat Sajak apparently have no interest in doing anything.
Yeah.
So Pat, then that Pat's retiring, of course. Like, he's got the easiest job on TV.
Is Sajak still going?
Is spin, that, oh, is spin that, a wheel. No, he retired.
Oh, is that done?
And so it's going to be Seacrest who takes over from, because who else is there? Well, Ryan Seacrest must host every
basically
show.
All the talk show hosts merged into one person.
Him and Terry Crews or whatever. Like, oh, like
that. I like that guy, though. He's
fun. No, I do too. I like them both. Like, they're both likable, but there has to be an extent. There has to be a limit, I should say, to the number of shows that these guys can be involved with. There's so much.
It's oversaturation. People are going to get sick of you after
I thought
a while.
The actors' union should have done a strike against those guys who are like doing 15 jobs each as opposed to AI. AI will be the ultimate threat. They'll have a Ryan Seacrest bot that doesn't need – he could be 15 places at once, and then he can host everything.
People will not be able to tell the difference.
No, and whether you're streaming or watching traditional TV, Seacrest is the constant.
Let's end up with some recommendations. What do you got this week?
I'm going to say I'm going to have a don't watch, and then I'm going to have
– Oh, so, sure. That's always fun.
A don't watch. I watched American Rust Season 2 on Amazon Prime. Season 1 I thought was good with Jeff Daniels as sort of this like down and maybe dirty cop sort of getting things done in Pittsburgh. And I just liked the vibe of it. It was kind of creepy, and he was kind of like a bad cop, similar to Michael Chiklis in The Shield.
Oh, yeah.
Season 2, it has some moments, but it goes right off the rails. It thinks the side characters are more interesting than they are. And at the end, it was like, I'm never watching this show again, was the key take. Despite a great performance by Jeff Daniels. Oh, a great performance. Like, yeah. But yes, great, like weathered and kind of like an older style Jeff Daniels than what we've ever seen. So don't watch that. It's a waste of your time.
All right.
So that's the first non-recommendation. My recommendation, this is tough because I've watched lots of shows lately and they've all been good. Like, there are lots of good shows. So I'm going to say, instead of shows, I'm not going to do shows. Instead of that, I'm going to say I have a surprise music that I'm enjoying that I thought I hated when it first came out, and now I love it. And it's Green Day's latest album.
Oh, okay.
Did you know that Green Day has a new
album? I did not. No, but I've seen Green Day in the feed at points. So I know something's going on with them. So cool.
The album's called Saviors. It's like almost like a sequel to American Idiot in some ways. And I saw it getting panned, Pitchfork panned. It gave it like three out of 10. I was like, these guys should give it up. And I was kind of like, first time I played it, I sort of felt the same. Like, I'm like, yeah, I think we've tread this ground before. But I just kept playing it, and I have to say there's some great songs that I think are being underrated by critics, and the album flies by when I listen to it. It sounds like Green Day to me. It doesn't sound like any other band. So I like that album, and I'm going to give an overdue shout-out for Green Day and the album Saviors.
That's cool. I love Green Day. I'm going way back. I saw them at Le Rendezvous in St. Boniface.
For $10.
Yeah, it was very cheap, and it was a great show. And then at one point, Billy Joe came into the audience, and I was like, hey, and I clapped him on the shoulder, and very cool.
Back, they were the people's band then.
Well,
they
that just, was like right at the cusp of their like getting
right at
famous.
The
So that was cool. And I did not hear that new album, but I'll check that out
for
sure. I went to the movies again this weekend. This is the second time this month.
And I know what you saw, and it's terrible.
What do you mean it's terrible? How do you know? How do you know what I saw?
Does it involve a large furry creature and a fire-breathing dragon?
No. No, yes, it does. Of course it does. Godzilla. Okay, I didn't even know what the title was. I had to look it up. Godzilla X-Con. Is it Godzilla times Con? Are they multiplying the two of them? The new Empire.
I don't know. Do they do it in the film?
Well, no, they don't do it. there's none of that happening. But
sure.
But there Wait are till the more, sequel. There are more giant monkeys, as I'm sure the trailer gives away.
Yeah.
And
baby monkey. Cute baby.
That baby monkey was kind of annoying. But I have to say, I enjoyed it. I had a good time. It's fun. It is like very much a popcorn movie, and you have to suspend your disbelief. And there's some moments where you're like, what the hell is happening here? But I really, overall, I came out of it with a good feeling. We had a good time. It wasn't too long. It's only 2 hours. Like, 2 hours is perfect amount of time. And there was actually a good, the CGI was good. It wasn't like muddy. It wasn't like all dark and wet like it always is. They were like in the daylight fighting in Rome and these big, it's what you want. It's big monsters fighting each other in big American cities. Or not even American cities, like world cities.
I just pray they didn't destroy the Colosseum. Or the Acropolis in Greece.
The Colosseum is involved. I don't want to say there's something.
They destroyed it.
They don't destroy it.
Those bastards.
The Colosseum is an important part of the story at some point.
But they fight each other in the Colosseum.
No, Godzilla sleeps in the Colosseum. Godzilla curls up and sleeps in the Colosseum.
He puts his arms in.
He's like a little cat sleeping in there after he's tired. He fights some and they make up. I don't know if these are like monsters from the lore of Godzilla, like old school Godzilla. Uh-huh. But there's some pretty interesting monsters in there. And it picks up right where the last one left off. Now, I didn't like the last one at all.
I never saw it.
I thought it was dumb. And I'm going to rewatch it because I really like this one a lot more than I thought I was going to. And so I'm going to rewatch that. But this one, I thought, was a little more focused and the characters were good. The characters are interesting and there's always something interesting happening. So
did you see Godzilla Minus One?
No. That's the one done by Toho.
And people love it.
Yes, I've heard it's very good. And I do want to see that one. I don't know if it's available on streaming yet, but it was in theaters.
I don't think it is.
And I missed it. But honestly, I don't have to go see it in the theaters. Like, that was as always, it was a mediocre experience. The theatrical experience isn't great, but the movie itself is good. So I would recommend watching it when it comes to streaming. Godzilla X Con, The New Empire is what it's called. The New Empire, which is also bad. I mean, what does that mean?
What about the Frozen Empire? What's that? Do they find the Frozen Empire when they're there?
Oh, crap. That's Ghostbusters, eh?
I know.
Every Empire this year.
Yeah, yeah. What's the Empire Strikes Back was about, 50 years too early?
It's like that year that we had the Mission Impossible Rogue Nation and Rogue One, and there were Rogue movies. They were sponsored by the Nissan Rogue. Everything was Rogue. We had
everything
X-Men
went
with Rogue.
Everything went Rogue. Yeah, Kim Jong-un, Rogue-un. That was the same year. He was Rogue too. He went Rogue the same year.
All right. Well, I think that's going to do it for this episode of the Media Nerds. Thank you for listening. I'm Dan Vadebonker.
And I'm Kenton Larson. Don't let the door hit you on the ass.